I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I remember them, and my soul is downcast within me, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. Let him bury his face in dust. There may yet be hope. Let him offer his cheek to the one who would strike him, and let him be filled with disgrace. For the men are not cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion, so great is his unfailing love. For he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men, to crush underfoot all prisoners in this land, to deny a man his rights before the Most High, to deprive a man of justice. Would not the Lord see such things? Who can speak and have it happen if the Lord has not declared it? Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that both calamities and good things happen? Why should any living man complain when punished for his sins? Let us examine away our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts to our hearts and our hands to God in heaven and say, we have sinned and rebelled, and you have not forgiven. I did this. We did this. The poems of Lamentations land like a self-inflicted gut punch, reading like a mournful and terrible confession of realization. I did this. We did this. At what point do we finally admit that we broke the world? When do we finally say, I did this? We did this. At what point do we stop pretending that we are the raindrop that did not cause the flood, or the snowflake that did not participate in the avalanche, and finally just say, I did this. We did this. We divided ourselves based upon our own rules. We declared all who disagree stupid, non-Christian, and burned every bridge between us that we could. We named dissent and difference of opinion evil. We called so much disagreement and dissent evil that evil no longer has meaning, and we no longer have language to recognize the abhorrent as such. We allowed evil to happen in the name of political party. We ignored the failings of those we agreed with, allowing their greed and power-seeking activity to continue because we agreed with them in spoken philosophy. We withheld love. When do we finally say, I did this? We did this. The poet laments God's wrath. The poet feels the pain of God's wrath and cannot help but lament. How does God express God's wrath? Does God actively punish the poet and his people? Does God actively bolster and strengthen the soldiers of the poet's enemies, while actively weakening and undermining the efforts of the soldiers of the poet's people? Does God actively force the poet's people into foreign exile and actively allow the destruction of the temple? Or does God allow the natural consequences of their sin to just take root? Do the sins of the poet's people weaken them naturally, spread them too thin, and make them too confident? Do the natural consequences of their sin condemn them to failure without God's intervention? Or did the poet just feel abandoned when the sins of the poet's people finally led to their destruction and demise? Did sin finally cause so much damage that the poet's people imploded upon themselves? The specifics do not matter to the poet. God's wrath is pain and destruction. The poet laments God's wrath. Why does the poet lament? Why does the poet passionately express grief and sorrow? What right does the poet have to lament? The poet says it himself. Why should any living person complain when punished for their sins? What right do we have to complain? We did this ourselves. Our sin condemned us. We became complacent. We forgot God. We abused our resources and ourselves. Our sin, not the sin of someone else, but our sin, led to our demise. Why do we complain and mourn? Why do we complain when we did this to ourselves, and why do we mourn what our sin caused us to lose? Why do we lament our world? We did this. We broke our world. We did not speak out. We saw evil and remained silent. We continued to participate in the divide. We threw insults and slung mud and dehumanized the other, even our friends and family, because they disagreed. We turned our backs on those in need. We used a policy of worth and true need to determine who we did not turn our backs on. We congratulated ourselves for our sin. We patted ourselves on the back for deepening the divide and celebrated how much good we did while we withheld love from those most in need. Why do we lament our broken world? We broke it and celebrated in the initial wreckage. The poet laments not feeling God. He may have no right to lament, but he laments out of pain and without anything else to do. And the poet laments the sin that brought him and his people to this point. In his lament, the poet sees the path to healing. Let us examine our ways and test them. And let us return to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts and our hands to God and heaven. The poet calls his people to repent. The poet calls his people to confess their sin and own it, realizing that they did this. The poet calls his people to turn away from their sin, return to the life and path God intended for them. And the poet calls his people to lift their hearts to God. The poet will continue to suffer as he starts on this path. This path of healing does not immediately relieve pain, but much like rehab after tragedy, The healing this path provides will hurt, but healing will come. We lament as we look at our world, and God appears so far away. Suffering happens in our own backyard. Sex trafficking, the sale and abuse of human beings, happens less than 3 miles from this sanctuary. Suffering happens to the weakest and the least. I need not name specifics. We all know what happens to the least of God's children. Suffering happens in the name of greed and power. I am reminded daily of the suffering and torment our sisters and brothers in Sudan, South Sudan, and Ethiopia suffer just to satiate the whims of power of those with guns and soldiers. Suffering happens, and we stand in complacence or in participation as the world breaks. We must repent, confessing our sin, owning our sin, and turning away from our sin. We must do what God desires and what will heal our world. We must speak up instead of closing our eyes to the suffering and torment of the sins our world causes. We must bridge our divisions that have allowed politicized evil to not only happen, but stand as the norm instead of the deviation. We must vocally abhor evil from all evildoers, especially those who look and think like us. Our repentance will not immediately relieve the pain of our sin or heal our world. Our sin has shattered our world, and the shattered world we have created will require extensive, painful healing. Nothing will heal quickly or painlessly. But if we lament our shattered world and our sin, and we repent, confessing and turning away from our sin, healing will come. I lament our shattered world, even though my sin shattered it. I try to repent of the sins I lament. I seek the painful healing our world desperately needs. I ask that you please, please do the same. Amen. And now, as a body of believers, living in a shattered world, but also given the example and the hope of Jesus Christ, we stand, affirm those things that we believe with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, and descended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now please join us in our hymn of response, Great is Thy Faithfulness, number 39.